something that you all should know. Chicago is the greatest place I ever know. I'm gonna stay in this town. I'm gonna live in this town. I'm gonna live in Chicago, the greatest place around.
What new star players may be joining the Cubs and White Sox in 2022? David and Bruce explore the free agent and trade market as the offseason takes shape. Will it be Max Scherzer putting up zeros at 35th and Bill Veeck Drive? Or Carlos Correa hitting long balls at Clark and Addison? You and the guys discuss possible offseason MLB moves and speculate who may be Chicago bound at 312-644-6767 on Inside the Club. Clubhouse.
Now you know what it means when you hear Bruce's favorite song here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score. Bruce Levine, David Haugh here until 10:30. Ohio State and Michigan following on The Score. Bruce, let's talk about one free agent who might be headed to the Cubs and one trade possibility that might bring somebody back to the White Sox. Let's start with the free agent who might be Chicago bound, the guy who has generated a little bit of consternation, some rumors surrounding Marcus Stroman, the Mets right-hander, crafty, good thinking man's pitcher, really good box office guy, good fun to watch, fun to have around, also can get it done, pretty durable on the mound. What do you think it would cost to get Marcus Stroman on the north side, and what impact might he have?
I think the price of poker to sign Stroman has just gone too high as of yesterday, David. Okay. Because I believe that the next move the New York Mets make will be to try to bring Stroman back to them and make him an integral part of their rotation going forward. And again, he's not the best pitcher in baseball, but he is one of the top pitchers in baseball and a guy that makes rotation with pitching innings and quality innings very desirable now. So he's not one of these guys that throws 97, 98 and blows people away, but he gets people out and he pitches innings. And he is somebody that would be a kind of a season changer to a certain extent for the Chicago Cubs as far as where they're going if they get to sign a guy like this and they get to sign him early on, because if you add him with Hendricks and you add him with Miley and you add him with the young pitchers that are coming along, it all of a sudden the Chicago Cubs look like a different team in the National League Central.
You mentioned the Mets. The Mets just spent $125 million on Black Friday. That was their shopping list. It was three players, and it cost them $125 million, and they were worthwhile investments, and they got Marte, who's the best center fielder available, Bruce. And there is some speculation, and I know it is speculation season, that they're going to try to go into the deep end and go after Max Scherzer. Now, if they are able to go after Max Scherzer, they're not going to get Marcus Stroman too. Do you think that's just a rumor? Do you think that's just unrealistic? What do you think about how that might affect Marcus Stroman's availability and the Cubs' potential to get involved in the bidding?
Don't underestimate the desire of the new owner, Stephen Cohn, to buy his way out of being a laughing stock in New York, because the Mets have been considered a laughing stock because of all the front office faux pas that have gone on there, because of some of the mistakes they've made as far as a player movement goes, as far as trying to get themselves a new director, a general manager in baseball, which they did in signing Billy Epler recently, but being turned down by numerous people not even wanting to interview for the GM job, if you can imagine, for a New York team. So Cohn is intent on spending and putting a top quality team out there, no matter what it takes. So I would not bet against him spending on Stroman and spending on Scherzer as well. And I would not bet that wouldn't be a selling point for either pitcher when they're in negotiations, saying, we're not stopping at you. We're going to get the best pitchers possible. We've already spent $125 million in one day, and we're not done yet.
Well, somebody might want to disable his Twitter account then, because every time he goes to the Twitter machine, he kind of does some damage to the brand, if you will, that has been damaged, as you alluded to, but of the New York Mets. You saw what he did earlier this week after Steven Matz picked the Cardinals over the Mets. He went on Twitter to rip the agent. And Matz signed for $44 million right. with the Cardinals, made them a little bit deeper from the left-hand side of the play or the mound, and that makes them better. But it hurts the Mets, and certainly with losing Syndergaard as well, it does put them in the pitching market. That's really aggressive, Bruce, Stroman and Scherzer. But I think Stroman is going to be somebody that if you're the Cubs, you can't ignore, and yet you have to be careful that you don't put all your chips in one pile. Don't you have to be, you know, what's your plan B if he is your plan A?
Well, you can't overspend on one pitcher in the beginning of a retooling, okay? But the starting pitching is certainly where they want to go. They want to get controllable starting pitching. They don't want it to be Edwin Jackson type controllable because of the fact that, you know, they did that at the beginning of their retooling back in 2011-12 when they took over initially. And the Edwin Jackson thing just blew up in their face. At that time, it was 4 years and $44 million, which sounded like, you know, one of the top contracts in baseball for a team that was just beginning to get its credibility going. And that leads us back to the question, David, to you, is that will the Cubs have to prove to guys like Stroman or Scherzer or any of the top pitchers that they're worthy right now of coming to, knowing that it's really not quite that time yet for them to win the money. Whole shebang.
Money, money, money. That's what talks as much as the rhetoric over development and contending and everything else. If you show Marcus Stroman you are serious about winning by paying him more than anybody else is willing to pay him, then I think that you're onto something, and that's how you're going to that's what speaks loudest in free agency. The other stuff is great, but when you're the Cubs and you look at your rotation, Bruce, and your starting depth, and you've got Kyle Hendricks and Wade Miley are your one and two starters right now. And then you've got maybe Alec Mills and a young pitcher to be named later as your number four and five starters right now. You need somebody at the top of the rotation. You need somebody the caliber of Marcus Stroman. So you need to maybe, as we talked earlier in terms of the shortstop conversation, you need to spend and you need to outspend. That could be intelligent spending. Is going out and getting a free agent that makes you more legitimate in terms of a rotation, your starting rotation, because it all starts with your pitching.
Right. But if he's mediocre and he turns into a Jamie Navarro or an Edwin Jackson and you're locked into him forever, how difficult is it to carry that ball and chain with you for the next 4 or 5 years?
I love your institutional knowledge, Bruce. I thought you were going to go back to make a Danny Jackson reference as far as overpaid free agents. That's going way back, right? Now, was there a worse investment than him?
No, there wasn't. But, I mean, the White Sox, they love the idea of getting Jamie Navarro as a free agent from the Cubs. And they talked about his durability. And with all due respect, that durability hurt them a lot over the next 4 years because he made every start and it wasn't all great, you know? So watch what you wish for when you're going after a number three like Stroman. He's no, in a top rotation, that's what he is, okay? That's a good thing to have. But for the Cubs, as you said, he's going to be your number two. And are you ready for Marcus Stroman and that type of commitment right now if you're the Chicago Cubs?
Cubs, Astros, Red Sox, Padres, and Giants are the teams that have been mentioned, maybe the Angels as well. They are involved in the Marcus Stroman sweepstakes. We will continue to monitor that to see if he is indeed Chicago bound, Bruce. But that is the free agent possibility of the week. We want to talk trade, and we want to talk about possibly the other side of town. Craig Kimbrel obviously has become more tradable now. Kendall Graveman signing with the White Sox makes Craig Kimbrel even more expendable. Even more tradable, perhaps. The rumor du jour, to me, the most interesting one, correct me if I'm wrong if you heard something juicier, Phillies interested in Kimbrel, Gene Segura as the player in return. Gene Segura is a shortstop who doesn't get along with Joe Girardi, can also play second base. Does that make sense that Segura might be Chicago bound?
Well, Segura is the type of veteran that you do want to bring in for the Chicago White Sox, because you are looking at this maybe extended window of being in competition, but a short window of wanting to win the World Series. And every move that the Chicago White Sox make right now by Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams and Jerry Reinsdorf, I look as moves to try to win the World Series once or twice over the next couple of years, not for the long term. So Segura is a very good hitter. He's a good veteran player. He would solidify second base for the Chicago White Sox. That is a good possibility of a trade. And the money that he makes would go up against exactly what the $16 million that you're giving to the Philadelphia Phillies. Dave Dombrowski, the president of baseball operations, traded for a Kimbrel once before when he was the lead man with the Red Sox. Now, he was very good with the Red Sox until the end, and in 2018, he wasn't even able to be their closer for the World Series because he was not reliable there.
Right.
If you remember, you know, Chris Sale ended up closing out that last game. Eovaldi even went into the bullpen at times and did a great job.
Is he that left-hander? Is he a left-hander? Chris
who?
Sale? Chris Sale, he's a left-hander.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Power arm. Missed a couple
right.
years,
Chris
though,
Sale,
hasn't he?
I remember him now. All right, yeah.
Yeah, didn't he miss 2 years, though?
Yeah.
I think he missed
did.
2 years.
Yeah.
So,
well, anyway,
look, everybody got one out of the Chris Sale trade what they wanted. That was a good trade all the way around. But in reality, when we're talking about Kimbrel, we have to look at Dombrowski and say, does he remember the good Kimbrel or does he remember the bad Kimbrel at the end? And how will he look at the good Kimbrel with the Chicago Cubs last year, who was one of the very best, if not the best closer in baseball, along with Hendricks, or the setup man that was not very good with the Chicago White Sox?
Bruce, what I want to know is, when I saw the name Segura rumored as the trade piece in the Kimbrel deal potentially, what are the Phillies, why do they want to get rid of him? Is it because of the problems with Girardi? Because I think that's a steal for the White Sox. You've got an expendable reliever who no longer fits because he can't pitch the eighth inning because he has to pitch the ninth inning, and your ninth inning is covered, and you could get a player in return in Segura who can play second. Obviously, that's where he played last year. Also, history as shortstop, so he's your backup shortstop. And a professional who is in the mode, 31 years old, ready to win now. Why is he as available as he appears to be at this point?
I think what you said about Girardi, I think about I've heard people say Segura is a great teammate. I've heard people say Segura can be a little bit of a diva in the clubhouse. So you have to do your homework and you have to do your due diligence about how not only he's fit in with other teams, how is he going to fit in with your ball club, which is really essential these days when you've already built up a championship caliber club.
Especially when you have a manager with a reputation. Now, certainly last year may have altered the reputation of Tony La Russa, but you have a manager who has a reputation for being no nonsense and might be a clubhouse that Segura may look at and bristle and not want to play in and not be a part of, perhaps. We know Marcus Stroman has said he would never play for Tony La Russa, but I don't know how many other players out there feel the same way, so maybe that is a potential conflict and maybe that makes him more tradable, but I think that it's an experiment worth taking or making or trying if you're the White Sox, because he is somebody that would solidify your lineup and answer one of your more pressing offseason questions at second base.
Yeah, the La Russa thing, I mean, if you look at one player last year, I think one player might have been, he had some difficulty with. That player probably will never play Major League Baseball again. And that's the Yerminator. Obviously, the greatest one-month player in the history of the Chicago White Sox. He'll always be remembered for that, and he helped them win a lot of games. But I don't think La Russa is going to stand in the way of this player wanting to come and play with a team that's capable of going to the World Series and winning it. So I think it would work out fine. This has been a little bit contrived by the media, but it's a very viable type of trade that the White Sox would probably be encouraged to make.
So Segura possibly to the White Sox, Marcus Stroman possibly to the Cubs. It's fun to speculate this time of year. It is a hot stove league, but Bruce, the elephant in the clubhouse is the looming deadline, December 1st. That's Wednesday already. The CBA expires. A work stoppage is right around the corner, depending on who you talk to. Let's close the show in the final remaining minutes looking at what's ahead and what is feared, because this could be something that is avoided, perhaps. I think optimistically, maybe not realistically, but I think everybody fears what's coming next. Bruce, what do you expect, and what are the biggest issues that have to be addressed?
Well, we've heard a lot of the issues before. You know, the players certainly want to, the owners want to drop down on the luxury tax from 210 to 180. They want to add another round of playoffs for obvious reasons for money coming in. They also want to add new rules. The pitch clock is number one, the 20-second pitch clock. The players are looking to increase the luxury tax, and they want to shorten service time. They want to increase pay for players 1 to 3. And most importantly, they are looking at the revenue streams of the extra playoffs that the owners want. And maybe the biggest issue right now is determining how much teams will be getting from gambling at their ballparks and how much revenue will be coming in for them now that the players want a piece of the action from. Now, remember, in postseason, the players get no money, no TV money in postseason, zero, okay? They want a piece of that action. They get all their money from ticket sales from the first four games. Those receipts go to the players for playoff money. They want this turned around. They want money from the playoffs. They want money from gambling. David, how do you project even looking at gambling, not knowing if it's going to be $25 million, $50 million, $75 million, $100 million per team when it comes to having their own gambling houses at the ballparks and having prop bets all bet at the ballpark only? This is going to be something really huge. Regardless of how I feel about it, it's something that's inevitable. And the players are taking a real strong and hard look at this, trying to figure out these revenues and how it applies to this next five-year deal that they're trying to get done with the owners.
Revenue distribution is going to be the big issue. I think also free agency, the players want 5 years of service. And then and I think the owners have countered or are looking at a 29-and-a-half-year threshold. I don't think that's realistic, Bruce, because you look at how many players are coming into the league now becoming stars younger and younger. You look at the Juan Sotos of the world, and that's even more than 5 years of service time.
Yeah.
If you're telling Juan Soto he can't become a free agent until he's 29 and a half, that's almost in his eighth year of major league experience. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, revenue distribution to young players earlier is the key, okay?
Right.
So they make about $575,000 as 1 through 3 players, first through third year, bumping that up to $1 million a year, knowing that the average major league career is 4 years, making this, you know, a player who was a marginal player but still makes $4 million in 4 years and is out of the game, that's a game changer, okay? That's something that is something that players need to take a hard look at if they get that increase for the young players there. It gives them more viability. It gives the sport a little bit more equal distribution of revenues.
Quickly, Bruce, before we get out of here, baseball's not had a work stoppage since 1994. How much damage would it do to the game if it starts on, say, Thursday?
More to the owners than to the players right now. The players, as time goes on, it will impact them if there's a lockout, okay? But right now, it hurts owners from being able to sell tickets and market those teams.
Well, you know what, Bruce? Regardless, if there's a work stoppage on Thursday, we will still be here next Saturday talking baseball 52 weeks a year. Thank you, Cesar Perez. Thank you, Daniel Moskos. Thank you, Bruce, for filling the last 90 minutes with a good baseball conversation.
Have a great weekend.
You too. Have a great weekend. Stay tuned here. Ohio State, Michigan is next. Welcome inside the clubhouse. Has been fun to do here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Thanks for listening.